Filho, se chegou muito tarde ontem de noite.
Diz, é Paulo.
Me acordou.
Ó, Samuel.
O que é que tu queres, é Paulo?
Anda aqui para cá. Ó, Samuelita. Largando ela. Anda aqui para cá, para a minha mãe.
Ó, Zé Paulo, tem calma que eu já vou.
Anda cá, Zé.
Mãe, papai. Tenho uma novidade.
Olha, vem aqui para cá, já são 10 horas.
Eu tenho uma namorada.
A minha mais novela. Ó, Samuel. Samuelita. Abraça-te a mim.
Ó, Zé Paulo. Tu rapaz das costas.
Rádio Universidade de Coimbra. Informação.
Boa noite, síntese informativa das 10. António Lúcio Vaz está de partida da administração dos serviços da Ação Social, mas antes deixa-o mais uma marca na Universidade de Coimbra. A Ação Social Escolar na Universidade de Coimbra é o nome do livro que Lúcio Vaz pretende descrever a realidade da Ação Social vivida pelo SASUC enquanto foi administrador. A apresentação acontece para a semana e vai ser apresentado pelo reitor Seabra Santos, que considera a obra um valioso contributo para a caracterização do que tem sido a Ação Social na Universidade. Recordo que António Lúcio Vaz é administrador do SASUC desde 1980. O Clube de Empresários de Coimbra vai devolver o terreno na zona do Pinhal de Marrocos, cedido pela Câmara em 2005. No local ia ser implantada a nova sede, mas não tem financiamento do quadro de referência estratégico nacional. Os empresários negociam alternativas com a autarquia de Coimbra. Pedro Vaz Serra, presidente do clube, adianta que o CREN não inclui fluxos financeiros para a construção de novas instalações e, uma vez que não há linhas disponíveis para este fim, o projeto vai ser adiado. Só o projeto da nova sede custa 1 milhão e 250 mil euros. Aumentar a eficiência energética é o objetivo da iniciativa Energia para Todos, que decorre hoje e amanhã no Centro Comercial Dolce Vita. As atenções vão centrar-se nas boas práticas e nos principais pontos de consumo energético, mostrar ao público como cada decisão do cotidiano pode reduzir as despesas com transportes e aumentar a eficiência energética é o objetivo do projeto. A organização está a cargo de um grupo de estudantes da Faculdade de Ciências e Tecnologia da Universidade para a disciplina de Processos de Gestão e Inovações. Termina aqui a síntese informativa na voz de Catarina Rodrigues. A informação volta amanhã às 4 da tarde com Ligia Anjos. Então, lá deixa ficar sintonizado em 107.9 e agora Preto no Branco com Paulo Sebastião.
Mais informação em ruc.pt.
Saudações académicas. A Tuna de Medicina da Universidade de Coimbra tem o prazer de vos convidar para o seu primeiro Festival de Tunas. Cantar do Estudante, de 3 a 5 de dezembro. Dia 5, às 21 horas, o espetáculo do TIAGV aparece e traz amigos.
Com apoio RUC.
A Lugar Comum apresenta Noiserve. No próximo dia 11 de dezembro, no Salão Brasil, o projeto Noiserve apresenta-se pela primeira vez ao vivo em Coimbra. Por detrás da assinatura, David Santos, com toda a certeza um dos mais interessantes e inovadores cantautores portugueses da atualidade. Mais informações em lugarcomum.pt. Apoio RUC.
SSB Surf Skate Shop, vestuário e acessórios das melhores marcas. Tábuas de skate Fidelity Dan, ténis Vans, Fidel Supra, DC e América, latas de grafo Montana. SSB no Centro Comercial do Linis, na Avenida Fernando Magalhães.
Rádio Universidade de Coimbra.
O tio Tomás tinha uma quinta.
Ia, ia, oh. E nessa quinta havia galo. Ia, ia, oh. E esse galo comia relva. Ia, ia, oh.
Comia relva o quê, pá? Aquilo está tudo castadinho.
noite e bem-vindos a mais uma emissão de Preto no Branco. Preto no Branco, equipa variada, músicas que mudam de sintonia semana a semana. Passada a semana, deliciosos bumbuns pop trazidos pela Sara Mendes lá do norte da Europa, quase um prelúdio para o Natal. Hoje vamos revisitar Música Invisível, parte da história da música popular que se passou nos anos 70 entre a ponte entre Inglaterra e Alemanha, a reconciliação de duas potências que tinham estado em lados antagónicos durante a Segunda Guerra Mundial, através dos álbuns dos Cluster Harmonia com Brian Eno. Programa também de tributo aos grandes cósmicos da RUC, aqueles que o Álvaro e o Henrique, aqueles que trouxeram a verdadeira histórica da Cosmic Music do pós-guerra alemão. Bem-vindos e boa noite.
Germany, 1945, year zero. Everything from cities to culture lies in ruins. It was time to rebuild. This is the story of a generation of musicians born into post-war rubble who would forge a new musical identity for Germany. Between 1968 and 1977, bands like Neu, Can, Faust and Kraftwerk would look beyond Western rock and roll to create some of the most original and uncompromising music ever heard. They shared one common goal, a forward-looking desire to transcend Germany's past. But that didn't stop the music press in war-obsessed Britain from labelling them krautrock. Meine Damen und Herren, ladies and gentlemen, willkommen to the sound of krautrock. In the late 60s, this was what German pop music looked like. It was known as Schlager, inoffensive, lightweight pop, a world away from what was happening on the streets of West Germany. '68, the year of a global youthful revolution, and West Berlin was no exception. Brothers in the US and the UK, these kids were sick of the man. But in Germany, the establishment had more to answer for. Following the German surrender in 1945, the country had been divvied up by the victors. In West Germany, a program of foreign aid had kick-started the Wirtschaftswunder, an economic miracle that saw the country prosper in the 50s and 60s. But the people running this shiny new Germany were the very same people who had been in power during the war. Nowhere was this more so than in Bavaria, the alpine heart of southern Germany, an area with strong historical ties to National Socialism. Hitler had chosen to start his revolution in Munich, and when not waging Blitzkrieg, the Führer could be found relaxing high up in the Bavarian mountains. For Amandul, a group of commune-dwelling musicians from Munich, the past seemed all too present in 1968.
After the war, you couldn't just erase all people or get rid of all people, especially judges, teachers. If they were Nazis, they had to take them because you can't just kick them out and have no teachers at all. It was all still there, but it wasn't as loud anymore. Nobody dared to say Hitler or something like that. The word Jew wasn't there in German language.
Our parents didn't really talk about Hitler, you see, and about the Jews and what this was all about, you know. They were just into silence. Nobody would really talk about it, you know. If I asked my father, he would never say I was a Nazi. If you go to Dachau, which is 30 kilometers away from here, talk to the people there, we didn't know anything about it, you know.
In those days, there were bloody Nazis around all over the place. There was rebellion against them. We had these big revolutionary things in the 60s. All Munich was on the street fighting against police, against politics, against all of that. didn't have guns or the tools to chase them away, but we could make music and we could draw audience, we could draw people with the same understanding, with the same desires.
Amandou would seek to make acid-drenched, apocalyptic music that soundtracked their vision of a brave new world.
And of course we didn't want to make English music or American music, and we didn't want to make German Schlager music. We didn't want to make English music or American music, and we didn't want to make German Schlager music, so we had to come up with something new.
The only thing we could hold on is classical music or the folk, and everything else was from England or America.
We wanted to be international, and we tried very hard not to be Anglophonic and not to be German. So space is one solution.
When you hear Fallow's Day, I wasn't really singing. I was more into a voice like an instrument, you see, or doing crazy stuff. Some people get very angry about it. Like my dad did too. He said, well, this is no music.
Amandou's commune was the locum of radical left-wing politics and music in Munich. Among those who followed Amandou were the founders of the Baader-Meinhof gang, Andreas Baader, Gudrun Enslin, and Ulrike Meinhof. They thought Amandou weren't going far enough.
One day, Andreas and Ulrike started, they're not really listening to us and they're not doing the right thing. We actually have to make something drastic, like burn something down or blast something. They burned down this warehouse and got busted, of course, and went to jail. When they got out of jail and they were released, they thought, let's go to our mates, Amundülen.
Once out of prison, Baader and Meinhof would orchestrate a killing spree that made them Germany's most wanted terrorists.
And we were on tour and came back home to Herrsching. I went into my room and there was Enslin in Baader. And upstairs was Meinhof in Chris's room. And I said, what the fuck are you doing here? You go out immediately. Immediately. It was heavy. I didn't like it at all.
It wasn't just the worlds of radical politics and music that collided in the late 60s. One of the cameramen capturing this experimental Amundul performance was a certain Wim Wenders. Wenders was part of a radical generation of directors reinventing German cinema. The most political of these directors was Rainer Werner Fassbinder, seen here making a cameo in Die Niklashauser Fahrt, a film that also featured Amundul. Was from Munich. Werner Herzog would make films exploring the extremes of the human condition. The soundtracks to his films were written by Popol Vuh, a Munich-based band with close ties to Amundul. They were led by the late talismanic Florian Fricke.
Fricke. Sie, was heißt denn Menschenwürde? Da ist es, Dignity. In those days he also had the first work for Aguirre with Klaus Kinski and Werner Herzog. The reason why they could get together so good, Werner and Florian, they had been friends. They know each other from the school days, and you know.
Ich bin der Zorn Gottes.
Gere Zorn Gottes. I give you the fact why it sounds so tremendous. You know, it was and the chorale, that what sounds like the voices. You know. This is a machine that came from Vienna. It was just by accident they found it, you know. It was really helpful. This has nothing to do with metronome. It has nothing to do with playing on the click. We just, our heart, our emotion was the timing, you know, and beautiful. Of course, the real German music, it was the electronic music.
At a time when most of the West was rocking out to Guitar Gods, something very different was brewing in Germany. Electronic music was virgin, neither tainted by the past nor an Anglo-American import. And in 1968, it was being nurtured in Berlin, a city like no other.
First of all, you have to remember that Berlin was kind of an isolated place. So you couldn't compare Berlin to any other city in the world. Just, there was a huge wall around it.
The old days of West Berlin, this was the end of the world. On the other side was Siberia, or at least East Germany.
to remember that Berlin was kind of an isolated place. So you couldn't compare Berlin to any other city in the world. Just, there was a huge wall around it.
Yeah, the old days of West Berlin, this was the end of the world. On the other side was Siberia, or at least East Germany. What looks now like a very quiet and peaceful place was the border, and was closely guarded. In case you wonder on which side of the old border you are, these hostel ships are named Eastern Comfort and Western Comfort.
It was a community which had to control more or less himself. So culture and underground, whatever you want to call it, you know, was kind of a very, very specific melting pot. And that was the signature of the city at the end of the 60s.
The key underground venue in Berlin was the Zodiac Free Arts Lab. Founded in 1967, it was a magnet for musicians who wanted to experiment.
Been here in a long time, and this is what's left, a normal cafe. This was quite different 40 years ago.
In the evening they opened the door, and we rehearsed on certain way, but it was also a concert because the audience was there, and this was kind of a center of this old music, Zodiac Club. So the owner, they said more or less that do what you like here, you know, you can leave even your instruments. We lock the door in the night, you know, and we are playing there every day. like here, you know, you can leave even your instruments. We lock the door in the night, you know, and we are playing there every day.
The idea came from a John Cage concert given in an art school in Berlin, where he was running about 35 tape recorders, you know, and different sort of sounds and music all over the place. He thought, what a nice idea to have in Berlin a place where you can see that day by day, 24 hours.
It was like the ICA. In New York, it was a factory. It's the same kind of spirit.
The Zodiac was co-founded by experimental artist Hans-Joachim Radelius. Older than most krautrockers, Radelius' vision drew from his war experience.
I think all my art is based on living, not on doing art, on experiencing life in many, many different aspects. The young part of the Hitler Youth, it was called Pimpfe.
And what did you do in that? What?
We had to do this and all this shit and to try to make us disciplined and following adults. I had to wear this pencil fast. But I didn't shoot it. I just tried to make a service. But fortunately, the war ended in the right time. Keyboard and
more or less the guy who makes little melodies, and I'm the guy who makes more the rhythms and sound things.
A good example for music made by non-musicians, but they had a vision of creating some sort of sonic utopia, a different world with different sounds. This is sort of a promise that there is a way out of the surrounding society.
Majority of Germans, they listen to classic, of course, and Schlager.
Das Ding geht grauenhaft rein bei
dieses Mädchen aus unserer Straße, hab ich noch immer lieb. Und es gibt einen Grund dafür, dass ich so lange bei ihm
lieb. Der Schlager ist stupid text, stupid melody, and everybody loves it. In a way, American hits also are Schlager. Elvis Presley, he was a Schlager singer in a way.
Well, on the surface, Schlager isn't political at all. But that's what makes it political. During the war, the propaganda ministerium, Joseph Goebbels, who was a very modern fascist. He invested lots of money into creating a music industry to his likes. The amount of Schlager broadcasted in the radio program increased dramatically.
Dankeschön. Das war Peter Auloff.
There were not too many ways for a German, let's say, a rock musician. You know, to perform music, to develop music, even to think about the theoretical development of music, because there was no heritage from the country. And the Germans were in a very bad situation. You shouldn't forget that. I mean, they were so stupid and guilty for it, to start two wars and losing it. As horrific as it was, it had one, forgive me to say that, one positive point. There was nothing else to lose. They lost everything. And so, when we thought about doing music in a different form, there was only the free form, you know, the abstract form.
Tangerine Dream's electronic symphonies conjured up a different world far removed from Germany's past. They and other Zodiac acts like Klaus Schulze were among the first to utilize the newly invented synthesizer.
Started to do my electronic music, the first question of all journalists were, what is a synthesizer? Can you imagine today, nobody would even care that they just see hundreds of them. But at this time, what is a synthesizer? Then you try to explain it, you know. And it was so brand new that we saw, oh, that's great, let's try something with it. And that was then the point that we actually, yeah, like kids, you know, we were turning knobs without knowing what comes out on the other end, but at least it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
something is happening, you know, it's so... But don't ask me, I have this now more than 30 years. I could never create tomorrow exactly the same sound.
Thank you. Chifres,
Ribatejo,
Campino,
Salva Terra de Mancos,
Barrancos,
Manuel Pinho.
É isso.
Já tinha visto.
RUC. Imagens para quê?